Okay, so welcome back to another exciting installment of our Tshuva series. The title, as advertised, has to do with how can we erase the past? So if we're going to talk about the past, it's only fitting that we start out by taking you back to the past. Long before COVID, long before we had today's problems, we had different problems. Back in 2005, the big story, especially in the sports world, was the release of a book called Juiced by Jose Canseco, a former Major League Baseball slugger. And in the book, he basically spills the worst kept secret of all time, and that was that Major League Baseball players were using steroids, they were cheating, performance-enhancing drugs. In the 1990s, and that's why all the home runs were surging and records were being broken, it was an exciting time for baseball. But at the same time, in 2005, Canseco blew the lid in February 2005. Well, a month later, Congress, the same people who deal with, healthcare and welfare, they sat down, they had a subcommittee of the Senate sit down with some of Major League Baseball's greatest sluggers, and they swore them in, and they wanted to talk to them about their past use, perhaps would they admit, under oath, of using performance-enhancing drugs, and how prevalent it was, perhaps, or going forward, what can we do to help make sure our children don't get involved in drugs or terrible things. So they called four major sluggers for this hearing. It was Jose Canseco, we just mentioned. There was Rafael Palmeiro, Sammy Sosa, and Mark McGuire. Well, Canseco sat down, and just like he did in his book, he confessed to everything, confessed on behalf of himself, everybody else. He was quick to say everyone's doing steroids. Rafael Palmeiro was a different story. He started out by saying, "Let me just tell you, I have never used steroids, period." It's very convincing, absolutely positive. Equally convincing and absolutely positive were his drug test results just 5 months later in August, when he tested positive for steroids. And the headline said, "Palmeiro tests positive, period." So after him, there was Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa, hilariously, showed up with an interpreter. Now, true, he was born in the Dominican Republic, but he spoke English fine enough. He was able to talk to reporters for the decade before and after. But at this hearing, sorry, no speak of English. In fact, his English was so bad that even his interpreter couldn't explain to him what the questions were. Sorry, I can't answer any of your questions. And last, of course, there was Mark McGuire. Mark McGuire had a very interesting approach. He didn't admit, like Jose Canseco, he didn't categorically deny, like Rafael Palmeiro, and he couldn't pretend he didn't speak English. A redhead from LA County, he couldn't say he didn't speak English. So you know what he did? He started off by saying, "Listen, I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to be positive going forward in the future." And sure enough, to every question they asked him, his answer was, "I'm not here to talk about the past." But you gotta give credit to the Congress. They really pushed his buttons. They said, "Mr. McGuire, in 1998, when you broke the single season home run record, were you on drugs, performance enhancing drugs during that time?" "I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm only here to talk about the future and be positive going forward." "Mr. McGuire, was it only you or also your teammate?" "I'm not here to talk about the past." Occasionally he'd confer with his lawyer first and then say, "I'm not here to talk about the past." I'm not sure why I have to confer. That was the plan for every question. He didn't plead the fifth. That would be too logical and too much following the rules. He just said, "I'm not here to talk about the past." How silly. I was thinking at the time when I was about to enter high school, I had a joke with my friends. I never had the guts to do this, but I always wanted to use that line, like in school. I was like stuck on a question, you know, especially during history class. "Yaakov, like, what were the five contributing factors to the onset of World War I? "I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to be positive about the future going forward." Can you imagine? And imagine if we could do this for Yom HaDin, be it Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, be it after 120 at the end of our lives. Hashem's looking at a long rap sheet and he says, "You going to explain any of these things to me? Why did you do all these terrible I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to be positive going forward." Unfortunately, that's not an option. We can't do that. As the Gemara in Bava Kamma in source number 1 says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a vatran. He is not someone who just lets things slide because we don't want to talk about the past. Let's just move past it. And yet, we have a concept called tshuva. We have a way to deal with the past in an amazing way. The Gemara in Yuma in source number 2, where it's underlined, says that the psukim that we say for the 13 attributes of mercy, which are coming up very soon, we say Hashem is nakeh lo yinakeh. Well, which one is it? Is Hashem nakeh? Is he erasing the past? Or is he lo yinakeh? So the Gemara explains, it depends. If you don't do tshuva, you can't just not talk about the past. But if you do tshuva, that's the way to actually wipe away the past. Ironically, if we think that we can just ignore the past and move forward, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will definitely remember it. In source number 3, it's a quote from our Tfilos in Rosh Hashanah in Zechronos, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers everything. One of the great Hasidic Rebbes in the 1700s, Rav Shmelka from Nicholsburg, he says that, as we say in Davening, Ki Zocher Kol HaNishkachos Ata, Hashem is one who remembers all the forgotten things. If we try to forget about it, not here to talk about the past, Hashem will say, I want to talk about the past. But if we say to Hashem, we're going to acknowledge the past, we're going to deal with the past, we're going to make sure to find a way to work through this together, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives, He forgets. And as the Rambam discusses what his famous 4 steps of tshuva are, one of the critical components, which we'll discuss tonight, the focus tonight will be on this one step of tshuva, is what's underlined and bolded in source number 4, that a person has to have nechama, he has to have charata on the past. One of the critical components of doing tshuva is actually to deal with the past. Now, when we talk about doing tshuva between man and fellow man, there's another component of appeasing a friend, but we're going to stick tonight talking about mitzvos and averos, being adam lemakom, between us and Hashem. So when we talk about doing tshuva, it's very important. A critical component is actually to deal with the mistakes and to feel bad. The Gemara in Brachos, in source number 5, says, when a person looks back at their averos of the past, and they feel guilt, they feel embarrassed, they feel ashamed, that's what actually gets them the mechila. It's a critical component. It's impossible to move forward and to do, I'll just be good from now on, be positive going forward. We have to actually look back and own up to our mistakes and to find a way to somehow erase the past. Now, the title of tonight's shiur is supposed to be read one of two ways, and actually both of two ways. On the one hand, it's supposed to be read instructively. Hopefully we can talk tonight how we can erase the past. Before we can even get to how we can erase the past, we have to read the title with disbelief. How can we erase the past? How is that possible? Mark McGuire couldn't do it. I couldn't do it in school. How can we actually erase the past? So let's first talk a little bit about two different types of tshuva. We mentioned already last week in our introduction to this series. Let's talk about two types of tshuva and what our tshuva actually does to the past. Let's see if we can figure out why. How does it work? How can we actually change and erase what's happened to us in the past? The Gemara in Maseches Yuma, a lot of the halachos of tshuva, a lot of the stories, a lot of the information about tshuva comes from the end of Maseches Yuma about Yom Kippur, which is obviously a fitting place to talk about tshuva. The Gemara talks about two different psukim, how great tshuva is. Gemara says, on the one hand, it seems like tshuva can put a band-aid on the past. It can't fully erase the past. But the Gemara quotes another pasuk that says, actually, we can erase the past. We can start fresh. So the Gemara says, really, there's two different types of tshuva, where it's underlined in source number 6. Kan me ahava, kan me yira. This tshuva meyira and this tshuva me'ava. We discussed last week in great detail tshuva meyira, how we redefine yira shemayim, where the goal is not the anxiety, the goal is to see Hashem, to be aware of Hashem, which naturally leads to some anxiety. I can't believe he came home. I didn't realize he was hiding behind the wamei mirror the entire time watching me. Suddenly he appears. He's ever so close. It's so terrifying, and it makes me want to do tshuva. I got to clean up this mess. When the king walks in the door, that's tshuva meyira. When a person does tshuva meyira, the Gemara says in source number 8, when a person does tshuva meyira, you know what happens to the averos of the past? Where it's underlined in the first line, shezedonos nasa lo kishkagos. A person's intentional averos, they turn into accidental averos. Which is not the best thing, they don't go away completely. That's not the case we're talking about when we say tshuva erases the past, but still, it's not terrible. It actually does some significant work for us by turning our intentional averos into unintentional averos. How does that work? How can it go back in the past and turn them into accidental? At the time I did it, I was fully aware. So Reb Dessler, in source number 9, this is from Michtav Me'eliyahu. It wasn't written by Reb Dessler himself. Dessler was the mashgiach of the Panovitcher Yeshiva in Israel. He passed away in the 1950s. So his Talmidim composed his Musar ideas in a 5-volume set called Michtav Me'eliyahu. In English, it's called Strive for Truth. So Reb Dessler, as quoted in source number 9, Michtav Me'eliyahu, he explains that when a person has tshuva meyira, when a person feels so bad because, I can't believe you're watching the entire time, I didn't realize you were here. In a sense, that makes all the previous actions like shkagos, like they were accidental. Because what is shogeg? Person wasn't fully aware. Oh, I forgot today was Shabbos. Oh, I forgot you can't do that on Shabbos. If I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have done that. Well, that's every case of tshuva meyira. When I now, a few months later, is saying, if only I realized you were watching when I cheated over here or said that or did this, I wouldn't have done it. So maybe the avera was intentional. But with proper tshuva, Hashem says, if you knew then what you know now, that I'm right here, yira, right face to face, you wouldn't have done it. And so in that sense, with proper charata, with proper realizing, I'm so embarrassed, I'm so ashamed that Hashem was there, He was watching. If only I had known, I wasn't fully aware, I wasn't fully cognizant of that Yirat Shamayim, it goes back and turns all of those previous intentional averos into shgagos, which is a major improvement. But then, we get to the main topic of the shir, and that's completely erasing the past, completely changing history. With a Gemara called Tshuva Me'ahava. Mentioned very briefly last week, the idea, like Aaron HaKohen used to do, he'd befriend somebody, and the person would not do tshuva because he felt guilty that Aaron was watching. He said, I want to have a relationship with Aaron. I want to make Aaron proud. Tshuva me'ava means not doing tshuva because Hashem suddenly appears or I feel guilty that He's watching me. It's, I've messed up this relationship. I botched it. I want to do tshuva because I want to restore that relationship. Well, you know what happens then, says the Gemara back in source number 8? At the end where it's underlined. Averos actually turn into zchuyos, mitzvos. All the averos of the past don't just turn into accidental sins. They don't just disappear forever. They actually flip from one side of the scale to the other. All of the past averos become zchuyos. They become mitzvos. That is an amazing thing. That's much better than Mark McGuire's not wanting to talk about the past. This is actually, I want to talk about the past. Hey, how do I get some of this? How do I get some of that? How do I turn my averos into mitzvos? The Gemara in source number 10 has the amazing, very famous line, Makom shebali tshuva omdin, at the statue where bali tshuva stand, tzadikim gemurim einim omdim. Even people who never sinned in their entire lives, real tzadikim, can't stand there. In this context, bali tshuva doesn't refer to how we typically use the term, people, incredible people, who took our mitzvahs later in life. It means anybody, anyone who ever does an avera and wants to fix it and do tshuva, which is all of us. We're all bali tshuva. Bali tshuva actually are able to achieve a higher level and someone who never sinned in the first place. As the famous poet said, I thought it was William Shakespeare, but apparently it's not. Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Apparently it's better to have sinned and repented than to have never sinned in the first place. Because when a person does tshuva me'ava because of the relationship, not because of the pressure, then all of the past averos turn into mitzvos and are able to even surpass a level of a person who never sinned to begin with. That is wild! The Marsha in source number 11 says, that's davar tamua. That's so surprising. Dinimtza chotei nischar. A person who sinned ends up profiting. That works out pretty well for him, doesn't it? What I want to do for the next about 20 minutes or so is to give you three approaches for how this works. As the title says, how can we erase the past? But also, how can we erase the past? How does that work? Three different approaches for when we do tshuva me'ava, which will be the discussion going forward. Tshuva me'ira, we said, just means we didn't have the full recognition before. Tshuva me'ava, we said, the person says, I desire that relationship. I desire to be better. The past is wiped clean and actually turned into mitzvos. We're going to explain three different approaches to how it works. And with each one, we'll give us some insight into how tshuva works and how we can use it very practically going forward throughout this season. Approach number one is offered by the Mesilas Yesharim, Moshe Chaim Luzzatto from Italy in the 1700s, the author, Ramchal as he's known, author of many famous svarim, most famously Mesilas Yesharim. And Mesilas Yesharim, he asks the question where it's underlined, how can a person undo the past? He gives an extreme example. Let's say somebody killed somebody. No amount of tshuva could ever bring that person back. It's not possible. How does any tshuva work? Whether it's a case of murder, really an extreme case, or not. But in general, whatever's done is done. We only could be better going forward and that's it. How is it possible to undo the past? And you know what he says? The question is better than the answer. It doesn't make any sense, he says. It's an absolute chesed from Hashem. That's what he writes. Tshuva is a gift. Tshuva defies logic. Tshuva is not something that makes sense. A person is able to undo the sin and erase it from the world or turn it to a positive thing. It's a chesed from Hashem. And he explained, this is why we were in such need of Hashem's rachamim at this time. Tshuva is not simply, I paid my dues, I fixed my crimes, all right, now I deserve to go back to where I was before, or a higher level. It doesn't make any sense. You can't undo the past. It's an absolute chesed. And for that reason, we have to always ask Hashem for help when we do tshuva. Because the whole idea of tshuva is a great gift. In source number 13, the Gemara in Pesachim lists seven things that were created before the world, whatever that means. And of the seven, where it's bolded in source 13, tshuva is on that list. Each one of these seven could get a shir in itself. But tshuva was created before the world. The Bali Musar explained in source number 14, I gave it to you from Rav Chaim Friedlander, who was actually one of those Talmidim of Rav Dessler, who actually published Mechtav Me'elio, passed away in the 1980s. Rav Chaim Friedlander in Sif Sei Chaim in source 14 explains, Tshuva was created before the world? Because it defies logic. It's not part of this world. It doesn't make any sense. Tshuva doesn't fit the natural order of the world that we know it, of cause and effect, of time. You can't make a time machine and go back to the past. It's science fiction. It's supernatural. Exactly. Tshuva came before the world. That's approach number one. And ultimately, whatever we're going to say for the rest of the night, this is ultimately true. We can't ever fully explain how tshuva works, why tshuva works. How can we erase the past? Can't ever fully explain it. But you know what? Just to know it's a gift from Hashem, and we're so lucky to have this system where we just do proper tshuva, and Hashem is able to undo the past, actually improve our lives because of it. It requires help. So I guess takeaway number one would be the parts of davening where we actually ask Hashem to help us do tshuva every single day, 3 times a day. We ask Hashem, Hashiva, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarei Secha. We ask Hashem to help us do tshuva. We need help doing tshuva. Hashem, help us do tshuva. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't make any sense by itself. It's a gift. It's out of this world. And therefore, we have to keep that in mind as we ask Hashem to help us do tshuva. It's approach number one. Let's try with 2 more approaches to actually give some semblance of logic to what is going on. How are we actually able to not only erase the past, but use it to become better than ever before? The question the Marsha asked was, how is it possible that Chotei Nischar, a person who sinned, ends up better than someone who never stumbled in the first place? That question is a little bit surprising, because we know adversity breeds great people. Think back to Jewish history, the greatest people we ever had. The greatest people we ever had, were they perfect? Never made a mistake? Not so. In source number 15, the Gemara in Shabbos lists 4 people who actually never sinned. Here they are. Binyamin ben Yaakov, one of the Shvatim, Amram Avi Moshe, Moshe's father Amram, Yishai Avi David, David's father Yishai, and Kil'av ben David. Probably the least famous on this list is David's son, whose name was Kil'av. Look, it's a nice list. These are great people, no doubt. These are not the most great people of all time. These are not the greatest tzaddikim who ever lived. How many halachos do we learn out from Binyamin ben Yaakov? How many tefillos do we have from Amram Avi Moshe? How many morals do we learn from Yishai Avi David? But their fathers and sons, Yaakov Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, those are some very famous people. People who messed up in their lifetimes. They were not perfect. And so much so that the Gemara doesn't treat these people as so famous, they don't even get their own names. The Gemara calls them Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avi David. These people are not only not the best, they're attributed to somebody else's father or someone else's son, people who are better, people who did mess up. And it's not just a coincidence. That's what made them better. The Archos Tzadikim of classic Musar Sefer, written in the 1400s, in source number 17, explained this is one way to understand how tshuva makes us better people. We learn from our mistakes. We learn from our past. We have to overcome. 2 people end up on the same point, but one had to struggle and had to go out of the way and really stress through it. They're a lot stronger. They had to overcome so much. Ubali Tshuva, which again refers to all of us, anyone who has to overcome something, comes out the other side much stronger, much better. You know, they say about Thomas Edison, I don't know if the story is true, but it's all over the internet enough to make it as true as these quotes go. Thomas Edison apparently had thousands of failed attempts to making his incandescent light bulb. And after he was successful years later, people said to him, wasn't it a bummer you had to go through all those thousands of failures? And reportedly, Thomas Edison said, you know, I never failed. Not even once. I didn't fail 2,000 times. I learned 2,000 ways how not to make a light bulb. It's a nice spin on things. His point was, I learned from every single one of those actions. All those failures made me better. I couldn't just skip to time number 2001. 2001 is only because I failed 2,000 times before, learning something each and every single time. So if approach number one was that tshuva is a miracle beyond comprehension, approach number two is that there's sub-level of comprehension over here. A person does tshuva, especially me'ava, a person does tshuva because they want to be better. They want to repair the relationship. They say to Hashem, I learned from my mistakes. Going forward, I'm not going to be making the same mistakes again. I'm smarter, wiser, stronger, better going forward. Hopefully next week we'll talk about actually going forward. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about the past. But at least when it comes to charata, to look back and say, I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm going to be better going forward. That's approach number two. And so, practically, when doing tshuva, to look and to analyze, where did I go wrong? What tempted me? When I talk to this person at this time in this way, we speak Lashon Hara every single time. When I'm alone, I end up doing this terrible thing. When I'm no one's watching, I cheat on my tax returns. What am I doing? What is the environment that helps me fall? Let me learn going forward not to do it again. That's approach number two. Approach number three is not the same as approach number two, which is focusing on character development. How a person becomes a better person after struggling and improving. Approach number three is that when a person does tshuva, me'ava, they actually repair the relationship with Hashem so much closer than it ever was before. Going back to Rav Dessler in source number 18, he explains that the ultimate goal, what actually brings us to have a relationship with Hashem, is anava, having humility. Because think about it, God doesn't have a body. We can't physically see God at work in this world. And as long as we believe that we're the ones doing everything, we deserve this, we're making a parnasa, we're taking care of our health, we're taking care of our families, we're the ones dealing with everything, we're the ones going to work and accomplishing, then where is there room for Hashem in your life? As long as we believe we're the ones doing it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be in our lives. I'm not going to tell the parking story yet again, but as long as we think we're the ones responsible, there's no room for Hashem in our lives. When a person becomes a Baal Tshuva, when a person has to acknowledge that they are fallible, they messed up, there's nothing more humbling than looking back at the past and saying, I'm not perfect. I don't deserve the bracha in my life. I'm not deserving of it. It can't be just me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so merciful. He gives me a chance for tshuva. Because I don't deserve anything. I made so many mistakes in the past. I'm so humiliated. That humility actually allows a person to see Hashem in his life like never before. Actually bringing them closer than they ever were before. I'll give you a mashal. One of my friends told me when he was dating the woman who ended up being his wife, they were about to get engaged, and then all of a sudden she dropped a bomb on him. She said, I think we should break it off and just see other people. And he was devastated. He didn't agree. He really wanted to keep seeing her. He thought this was the one. He was sure this was the one. He was absolutely sure. And she said, you know, there's nothing specific wrong. I just need to see what else is out there. I don't want to go into a relationship committing without being fully sure, having doubts. I just want to take some time apart. Well, he was crushed. But a few months later, she came back and she said, you know what? After dating other people, after being apart from you, I realized that this is actually the one. Now I'm sure. And I'm sorry it took me a few months just to realize that, but now I'm absolutely sure. How would you categorize those few months when they were separated? Just a hurdle? Looking back, married 3 years, what would you say? It was just something negative to gloss over, a terrible time in their history? No, in fact, he told me now. He said that time was actually so important, as painful as it was at the time, it allowed her to see, without a doubt, that I'm the one for her. I already knew, but she wasn't sure. And when she came back more sure than ever. I mean, we're closer than ever. I wouldn't have wanted to marry her if she had doubts. What kind of relationship would that have been? I think that's a perfect nimshel, perfect mashal for what we're talking about over here. Bar Kadosh Baruch Hu is sure. We have a relationship with him. And he says, I'm sure, this is the one. And we say, I'll be back soon. I want to stray. I want to see what else is out there. Hashem says, no. Oh, all right. I hope you come back. And we go around and we do this and we do that. We ignore him for a while. We don't see him for a while. We're trying other things. We're doing other things. And in the end, we say, God, I miss Hashem. Where's that relationship? It stinks being without him. Every other person out there is awful. I got to get back to my true mate. I got to get back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and build that relationship again. And when they come back, when the person comes back to Hashem by doing tshuva, they don't just go back to how it was before. They're more sure than ever. After seeing how lost they were, how humbling it was to be without Hashem, what a miserable life it was to come back and be absolutely sure that the relationship is the one, the relationship is actually stronger than ever. And this is how Baal Tshuva can actually attain a higher level, come closer to Hashem than a person who never had to stumble and see what else is out there and come back. Baal Tshuva says, I've seen it. I've seen what it's like not to be with Hashem, and it's awful, and I want to come back and be closer than ever without any doubts this time. And sometimes it means going back and forth 100 times, but each time we come back, it's with that attitude. If it's from Ava, I want the relationship. I want to get back together again. And for that reason, where it's bolded in source number 18, that's why all those past averos turn to mitzvos. Because what's the goal of a mitzvah? To get us close to Hashem. Sometimes averos bring us closer to Hashem. If the avera is the impetus for us to say, it stinks without Hashem in this relationship. I can't be without him. So that Avera actually brings a person closer to Hashem. It's a zechus. It's a mitzvah. That Avera actually was a stepping stone, allowing a person to come closer to Hashem than ever before. And then this third and final approach, when doing tshuva, a practical way to do it could be to think, not just to say this Avera in a tree kind of a way. Look at the whole forest and say, what is this Avera? What has it brought me away from? When I speak Lashon Hara, when I cheat on my taxes, when I do all these things that I don't feel good about, what happened? What happened to the relationship? I wasn't seeing Hashem eye to eye. And now when I come back, I'm better and closer than ever before. Think of the relationship and what was lost. My wife told me a beautiful analogy for this. She said, imagine two people holding on to the end of a rope. The rope is 10 feet long. And after a while, they decide they want to sever the connection. So they cut the rope in the middle and they walk away. Then they decide they want to get back together again. So what do? They take the two ends of the rope and they tie it to each other. That rope is now shorter. The two are now closer to each other than ever before. The amount of rope you have to use to tie the knot, to retie that knot, allows them to be closer. You look at somebody else who never had to cut the knot before, it's much further apart. And you know what? It looks smoother for a tzaddik. It looks very smooth. And for a person who's about tshuva, there's a lot of bumps along the way, a lot of knots. What those knots do actually bring the couple closer to each other, allow them to become closer than ever before. And so with these three ideas, three approaches to how tshuva me'ava can change our past, can actually erase the past, it's a chesed from Hashem where he's giving us a great gift. It's character building, allows us to learn from our mistakes and become better people. And lastly, it allows us to become closer to Hashem, to recognize how difficult life would be without him. Source number 19, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't coexist with a person who's so arrogant. They can't live in the same world. It takes tshuva, it takes a humbling experience for a person to realize, I gotta have Hashem in the world, I gotta have him back. And that brings him closer than ever. By these ways, by specifically talking about the past and using the past to recognize Hashem's great kindness, to become better people, to become closer than ever to Hashem, by doing all of that, it allows us to actually change our narrative, to rewrite history. As the Rambam writes in source number 20, when a person does tshuva, they're disconnected from that version of the past, as it's bolded in source number 20. Ve'eni oso ha'ish she'asa oson ha'ma'asim. I'm not the same person. I didn't do those things. I didn't do those averos that brought me farther from Hashem. No, I've become a Baal tshuva. I've used those things to become closer to Hashem. I've become a better person. I'm not the same person. Rav Dessler, and source number 21 explains not just a new person, it's like a new life. What he calls Trias HaMesim. Tshuva is like Trias HaMesim. It's a fresh start. I'm not the person who did those terrible things. Those weren't terrible things. I'm using those things to become closer and a better person than ever before. You know, after 2005, when Mark McGwire did that, when he wasn't going to talk about the past, things did not go well for him. He was completely vilified, as you can imagine. He wasn't received well after his performance in front of the Senate. 5 years later, in 2010, he actually sat down with the Associated Press, with Bob Costas, and he actually had an hour-long interview where he started talking about the past. Now, very funny, he actually said he could have hit 70 home runs in a season without using drugs. Haha. But either way, he began talking about the past. He tried. He began opening the conversation, which is ultimately always a better thing to do. It's always better for a person to actually start to deal with the past and to use the past to our advantage as opposed to pretending it didn't exist. So tonight we spoke about one of the four steps of tshuva. The takeaway is, number one, we have to deal with the past. If we try to forget it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always remember it. We have to remember it first. We have to say we're going to use the past to become better. We said tshuva meyira relabels the past act as unintentional because we weren't fully aware of Hashem. And we explain three different ideas how tshuva me'ava can actually rewrite history, can turn past averos into mitzvos. Number one, the idea from the Ramchal, that it's a supernatural chesed from Hashem, and we have to ask Hashem for help in davening, we have to ask Hashem to help us. Number two, the Orchos Tzadikim's idea, that overcoming adversity actually makes us better and stronger and smarter and more righteous people going forward than ever before. The greatest people in history are not the ones who never stumbled, it's those who learned from their mistakes and actually became better. So practically, to look at what we've done and actually think, how can we use this to become better? How can we become better going forward? And number three, the idea of Reb Dessler, the idea of when you retie the knot, it actually brings the parties closer to each other, to realize, I can't live without Hashem. I can't survive without this relationship. And when we come back, ultimately, that connection is closer than ever before. So with proper reflection on the past, we can actually become new people. We can actually erase the past and turn it positively in our favor and ready to move forward. So hopefully next week we'll have to turn to that step of tshuva. Now that we've talked about the past, it's time to talk about the future. Time to talk about properly making kabbalas, or as they're famously called, New Year's resolutions. How we can actually make lasting resolutions, how we can actually make meaningful change. Please join us next week, same time, same place.